Now let us read in John's Gospel, chapter 10, the Gospel according to John, chapter 10, verse 9. I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, another reading in Luke chapter 13. Luke Gospel 13. And we'll read from verse 24. Luke 13, verse 24. Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and is shut to the door, and he begins to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We've eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast fought in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there is first which shall be last. Now the two thoughts I want to leave with you tonight are very simple, but I hope God will use them, and they're just two short expressions. Christ opens the door, and Christ closes the door. You'll notice we read in John chapter 10, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And then we read in Luke chapter 13, verse 24 and 25, when once the master of the house has risen up and shut to the door. So there you have it. Christ opens the door, Christ closes the door. Now John chapter 10 is a beautiful chapter. And the Lord Jesus describes himself here as the good shepherd giving his life for the sheep. My, what a glorious scene. What a blessed message. And I want to assure you tonight, if nobody else has, sometimes they say our preaching's hard and difficult. Well, I want to tell you, if nobody has up till the present moment, God loves you. Christ died for you. And the Holy Spirit is in the world tonight and in the gathering to try to get you to come to Christ. In other words, what I'm saying, God is for the sinner. I hope you remember that. God is for the sinner. And that's what encourages us to preach. So the Lord Jesus speaks of himself as the shepherd. When blood from a victim must flow, this shepherd, by pity, was led to stand between us and the foe and willingly died in our stead. But here in the chapter tonight that we have read, or the portion, we have Christ described as the door. Now, the Eastern shepherd was the door, the living door, into the fold. And I want to emphasize that tonight, the days in which we live. Some people make a door out of good work, religion, ordinances, baptism, and all that. I want to tell you tonight that God's salvation is a person, a glorious person, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And you'll never get to heaven unless you trust Christ. There's no other way, and it's utterly impossible for God to take you to heaven without Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, let me take that in. I called on a woman down in Prince Edward Island, and of course, when a preacher comes around, or preachers, they always have their guard up. The first thing she said to me, well, now, she said, I have my religion. I said, my dear woman, I haven't come here today to talk to you about religion. I have come here today to talk to you about Christ. Why, you should have seen the change in her countenance. A completely different attitude. My friend, we're talking about a person tonight. Not an ordinance, not a creed. And we want to be simple. We're not here to preach to Christians. And we're not here to be sensational. That kind of thing is out of place in the gospel. But we're here to try, to the best of our ability, to show you that God's salvation and you being in heaven revolves around a person. Makes no difference, and I'm not here to take a slant at any church or denomination. I don't believe in that. But it makes no difference what you are. Baptist, Pentecostal, Anglican, United, Salvation Army, even brethren. Your whole eternity doesn't depend upon what you're affiliated with. Your whole eternity hinges upon one thing. Whether you have Christ or whether you haven't. God's salvation is a person, a divine person, a real person, a person that's in glory tonight, tangible and touchable, a real living person. It's not joining a church. It's not baptism. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not signing a card. Not coming down the aisle to shake hands with a preacher. God's salvation is the acceptance of God's Son, a living person. Let me ask all in the gathering tonight, have you Christ or have you not? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. One thing I want to mention, all of us are born outside the door. That's very important. All of us were born outside the door. There's no access to God. Sin has closed the way, the access into God's holy presence. And look, my friends, your sins have built a wall between you and your God. I hope you get a hold of that. Your sins and your iniquities have separated you from your God. That's why the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, the most religious man in his day, he assured Nicodemus and he told him plainly, you're barred from the kingdom of God, Nicodemus. Whether you want to believe it or whether you don't, with all your respectability, self-righteousness, and religion, you're barred from the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again. Cannot see, cannot enter, cannot understand, cannot appreciate the kingdom of God. And there's a verse in the book of the Revelation. Nothing that defileth shall ever enter there. So friends, how are you going to get to heaven with your sin? Nothing that defileth. Heaven is a holy place. For a holy people, and for a prepared people. So we're all born outside the door. Doesn't make any difference what your nationality was. Whether American, Canadian, English, Irish, Scots, you name it, your first birth is of no account, and will never put you in heaven. When I got saved, you know, I was a little gullible, and a little, green as to the gospel and the teaching of the Bible. And you know, I heard them say, and I'm talking about brethren now, I heard them say that nationality died at the cross. Well, I want to tell them, if nationality died at the cross, there's some dear brethren certainly gave it a glorious resurrection. No, no, my friend, look, let's face it. It doesn't make any difference how you were brought up or where you were brought up. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. It's still flesh. You may educate it, decorate it, glorify it, and we're living in days that only glorify flesh. Nationality and personality have a great scope in our society. If a man has the charisma, and he's intelligent, and he's articulate, he'll get there. But as far as God's concerned, and heaven is concerned, doesn't amount to that. Your second birth is under condemnation. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and you can't make it anything else. And that's why there's the absolute necessity you must be born again. We sing with the children. Maybe there's some here tonight. Happy birthday, just do, only one will not do. Born again means salvation. How many have you? Well, I got two, thank God. We'll just shoot a word along to the children. We have to forget you older people sometimes and just get down to the children as well. I have two birthdays every year, thank God. I was born the first time on November the 26th, 1913, and that's a long, long time ago. That was my natural birth, my physical birth. I wasn't born a Christian, wasn't born on the way to heaven. I was born a sinner. But I was born again on the 14th day of March, in the year 1934, and thank God that's the one to come. So you know how old I am, November the 26th, 1930. Some preachers, you know, they never want you to know their age. Well, who do they think they're kidding? Well, you just have to take a look at me, and you got me figured out pretty well. Yeah, I'm on. And I passed the 70 mark, and look, it doesn't matter to me who knows my age. But that day when I was born into this world, I wasn't born into the family of God. I wasn't born a Christian. I was born a sinner. And I was born again on the 14th day of March, in the year 1934. When I go over to my Margaret Street, that's over to the west side, and I drive down Margaret Street, I want to tell you, my dear friend, and I say it with tears in my eyes tonight. When I get to 205, I pull over to the curb and I look up at that front bedroom and I say to myself, oh, Frank, thank God. Thank God, my friend. Sure, I played hockey and I was good at it. Not a man on skates that I was afraid of. Too bad I'm not that way when I'm preaching. Not a man that ever put skates on, whether he's from the States or Canada, that I was afraid of. But I want to tell you, my friends, I'm glad I gave all that up for Christ. They told me when I got saved, this will go, that will go. You can't do this, and you can't go there, and you can't wear this, and you can't wear that. Well, I want to tell you, it was a lot of rubbish. The only thing I had to give up when God saved me was my sins, and I was glad to see them go. Good riddance to that rubbish. That's the only thing I gave up. So we're all born outside the door. Now look. Christ purchases the right, God will, to become the door to heaven. Well, I like that thought. I enjoyed that thought in John chapter 10 here. He purchased the right. And look, he's the only one that should be the door to heaven. He's not a door or one of the doors. He's the door. The door. And so, he purchased that right at Calvary when he laid down his life and shed his blood. My, what that meant, that memorable day long, long ago, when the Lord Jesus cried, "It is finished." Let me ask you, my friend, what does that mean to you? As I stand before this audience tonight, there was a time in my life, you know, the thorn-clad brow, the nail-pierced hands and feet, the spear-wounded side meant nothing to me. And I'm amazed that I'm here tonight behind this desk preaching such a message. But I want to tell you, my friend, Calvary means everything to me tonight. Why, when you look at the cross and you see the Savior hanging there in blood and shame, think of the darkness that he felt, the agony that he endured, what he suffered spiritually, mentally, and physically. My friend, in God's name, what does it mean to you? When I stand beneath that cross, I say, hallelujah! What a Savior! When I look at that sight of all sights, I say, thank God my sins are gone. You ask me about hell? No hell for me. The torment and the fire, mine eyes will never see. Thank God for the cross. And that day when the Lord Jesus cried, it is finished, the door to heaven was open. What a moment. And it's open tonight. I want to tell you, there's an open door tonight. But by this time, tomorrow night, or even before, this time, tomorrow night, or even before this meeting closes, that door may be closed. I don't suppose there's anybody in this audience that really believes they could be in eternity by midnight. Everybody looks upon everybody else as mortal but themselves. They think they're immortal. No, you really don't believe that you could be in eternity before 9 o'clock tonight. And there's many a group and many an individual started out today on this holiday weekend. And my friend, there'll be an eternity before it closes. They will cross the confines of time and eternity. They'll be gone, never to come back. And it could be you. So the door is open, just like the door of the tabernacle, open 24 hours a day, never closes, day or night. While we're sleeping, and we're all pretty good sleepers, while we're slumbering and sleeping, souls are entering in, thank God. From Africa, China, British Isles, Canada, souls are entering in. And when his blood-bought search is complete, when his soul is safely landed at his feet, what a story in the glory to repeat. My, we got an amen from one of the preachers. Not very often we get an amen among the brethren. I think sometimes I would have a fainting spell if somebody ever said, hallelujah, glory to God, amen. You don't have to go Pentecostal, but at least something should grip your heart. Now, friends, have you entered in? What kind of people enter in? Sinners. I am the door, by me, if any man enter in. Question of the will, you. God won't save you against your will. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, if any man hear my voice. Isaiah 1, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured of the sword. And most of us have a stubborn will. It's a miracle that we ever got saved. Man's will, I will not have this man to reign over me. God's will is your salvation. I firmly believe with every soul that crosses the portals of eternity, the Lord Jesus can truthfully say to them, I would, but you would not. We present a willing Savior tonight. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you were drawn? Wouldn't it be grand if when you went home tonight for the first time in your experience, you could get down on your knees and thank God for sending Jesus all the way from heaven to die for you. I remember when I did that. Only a few hours on the way to glory, without any religious instruction, I became a priest. I became a worshiper. Right there by the easy chair, I got down on my knees and with tears running down my cheeks, I said, oh God, I thank thee for sending Jesus all the way from glory down to the cross to die for an ungodly sinner like me. That's worship. First time. that ever happened in my life. So look, my friend, if you refuse to enter, you're going to know the meaning of the second door that we read about. And if that happens, you can abandon all hope. Christ opened the door. Christ will close the door. When once the master of the house rises up, shut to the door. That could happen tonight. I believe with all my heart and soul, we're in the evening tide of the church's history on earth. We can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of the door. And I hope we're living in such a manner we can say, my heart is longing to be with him evermore. History always repeats itself. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. What were they doing in Noah's day, Lot's day? Just like they're doing now. Buying, selling, planting, marrying, giving in marriage. No thought of judgment. No thought of God. No thought of the coming storm. Well, there's one thing you know that never repeats itself. There'll never be another Bethlehem and there'll never be another Calvary. It happened once. It'll never happen again. So you better cash in on it. Seeing that we can be more sure of than the promise of the Lord's return. Can't be sure very much down here. I've got to the point I just live a day at a time now. I never get elated or I never get too high in anything. I just take the day as God gives it to me, and I thank God for it. You can't be sure of your wealth. You may have lots of money tonight, penniless tomorrow. Can't be sure of your health. May be healthy and strong tonight on a sick bed tomorrow. Can't be sure of your friends. You may have a host of friends tonight, friendless tomorrow. But there's one thing we can be sure of. That's the promises of God. He that shall come will come and will not tarry. The fact of his coming. Why, it's mentioned in the Gospel. It's mentioned in the Acts of the Apostles, Paul's epistles, and the closing book of the Bible. Three times over, behold, I come quickly. When God mentions a thing once, it's solemn. But when he mentions it three times, it's extremely solemn. The fact of his coming. The time of his coming. Just in the hour that we think not. Men have set dates for the coming of the Lord. They said on a certain day and a certain month and a certain year Christ will come. That day passed like any other day. Nothing happened. Just went by like the rest of the day. Because we don't know the day nor the hour that Christ will come. Just the very time the nations will be saying peace and safety, God says sudden destruction shall come upon them. He surprised the world the first time when he came. And he'll startle the nations the second time when he comes. And he's not coming as a stranger of Galilee, the man of sorrows the next time. He's coming as the King of glory. He's coming in great power and glory. And he's coming soon. And he may come tonight. The time of his coming, be also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And the results of his coming. What do you think would happen right now? I have a pretty good imagination. You know, it's a good thing to have imagination in spiritual things. As long as your imagination doesn't run away with it. You got to keep it under control, you know. Some men have a powerful imagination and it runs wild. But imagination in spiritual things is a good thing. I've often sat in a meeting, this size and smaller. And I've often thought to myself, what would happen right now if the Lord was to come? What do you think would happen right now? I'm just about to wind it up. 8:00. What do you think would happen right now if the Lord was to come? Well, I want to tell you the preacher's voice would be hushed. And silent. and there's a number in this audience would rise to meet the Lord with lightning speed. Rise to meet them. They're saved. They're born again. They're in Christ. And there's others would be left behind. My friend, that's as true as I'm on this platform tonight. That's going to happen. One of these days, and it may be sooner than you expect. It's going to happen. Suddenly, secretly, and surely, it's going to happen. Why you think of the eternal separations when the Lord comes? Why you won't have that godly father to open the Bible and say, son, this is the way you walk in it. This is how you get saved. Won't have that godly mother to put her arm around and just say, my boy, when are you going to get it settled? You won't see that brother or sister in the bedroom there crying to God for your salvation. That'll all be over. When the Lord comes, it's going to bring an end to Christian influence. Because when the Lord comes to the air and the shout is given, the Spirit of God is going to escort the bride of Christ home to glory. And I'm looking forward to it. Are you looking forward to it? By the coming of the Lord has a wonderful appeal to a Christian. But it's a crack of doom to the sinner. Why we attend funerals, you hear the man behind the desk, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. If you're not saved, if you're not born again, your heart needs to be troubled. Your heart needs to be disturbed. Endure death and endure the coming of the Lord. Mr. Bill McBride, who is over in Chile, he was getting ready for a gospel meeting one night. Sometimes it's difficult. I was racking my brains on what to preach on tonight. Spurgeon says, you know, when you get down on your knees in your bedroom, all the texts gather around you. John 5 and 24 says, give me a try tonight. Romans 10 and 9 says, I think I'll do for tonight. Isaiah 53 and 5. Romans 5 and 6, Christ died for the ungodly. That's my text. Oh, you see, you got a text, Mr. Grigsby. You better believe it, I've got a text. And don't you try to take it from me, because I won't let you. I've got a text. Thank God. And what was contained in that text brought salvation to me. Christ died for the ungodly. So Mr. McBride was on his knees praying, wondering what to preach on. And here, just below the bedroom window, the children were playing hide and seek. We've all played it. My, this old chap was up at the hydro pole there, and he said, 96, 97, 98, 99, 100. Ready or not, I'm coming. And Mr. McBride says, there it is. That's it. Look, my friend, it's yours during the call tonight. That's going to happen. Christ was going to say, ready or not, saved or unsaved, believer, unbeliever, godly or ungodly, in Christ or without Christ, ready or not, I'm coming. God help you to get ready. Lord, I'm glad I'm saved. I sure am. And as the poet said, it took a miracle to put the world in place. It took a miracle to put the stars in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. My friend, I don't know why you can go on so long in a path of rejection of Christ. I don't know how you can do it. I trust these thoughts will speak to you tonight. Christ opens the door. And if you refuse to enter, the same hand that opened the door will close the door. Christ will close the door. God help you to get saved.